Would you stand with us for the reading of the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. So glad for everybody, all of our visitors. We thank you so much for coming and being here this morning. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. In other words, run in such a way as to get the prize. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Oh, Father, I thank you for your divine presence in the house of the Lord this morning. I thank you, Father, for these wonderful testimonies. I thank you for your blessings upon your people and for the salvation of precious souls. I ask you this morning to anoint me to speak the words of God, to be an encouragement to these young Christians. And I pray that you'd edify your body and give a call to any soul in this place that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on when winning is everything. When winning is everything. In my text, Paul compares the Christian life to the life of professional athletes. These athletes competed in the Greek games that were held at various sites in ancient Greece. They competed in boxing, wrestling, racing, things that people still compete in. And there were other events also that made up the sports agenda. I want you to understand that in alluding to these professional games, Paul was certainly not endorsing these games. The early Christians were forbidden to attend the games due to the nudity and to the association of the games with idol worship. And these same sins are connected to the sports world of our day. You will notice that in my text, when he is referring to the sports world, he says, they run. Verse 25. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. So he distinguishes between them and us, because in that day and in this day, these same sins of nudity and idolatry are rampant in the sports world. American Christianity is only too willing to sacrifice purity for pleasure. The attitude that makes a successful athlete also makes a successful Christian. And so I want you to see this in this passage of Scripture. And I want you young Christians especially to listen to me this morning. Even though in the athletic world, natural and acquired ability is essential in order to be a successful athlete, Paul is not dealing here with ability, but with attitude. Attitude can transform a loser into a winner, but it can also transform a winner into a loser. Why is it that some athletes who have just mediocre skills, but they excel in their game? And there are others with exceptional skills that fizzle out The difference is something we call heart. That's the difference. The difference is something we call heart. Some athletes have heart, and some of them don't have heart. And it's that way in the Christian race. Some people have got heart, and some people don't have heart. And that makes all the difference in the world as to how well you do in this Christian race. There are two qualities of an athlete with heart that I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes. One is determination, and the other is discipline. Two things that mark out the athlete, the successful athlete, the man with heart. It is determination and discipline. He's got determination. He is determined to win. You see in verse 24 of my text, Paul said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Run with the intentions of winning the prize. In other words, you've got to have a made-up mind. The athlete knows that only one person is going to win that race, but he plans to be that one. So he is going to run with the determination that everybody else is going to lose, but he is going to win. There are many more losers than there are winners. Only one can win in their race. And there are many more losers than winners. But to that person who is running that race, this athlete, losing is not an acceptable option. I said losing is not an acceptable option. He's not running to lose. He's running to win. Hallelujah. And that's the way it's got to be in this Christian race. If you're going to make a successful race, you've got to get in it and run to win. You've got to have your mind made up. You've got to be determined. In the Christian race, success is not limited to just one person, but it's granted to those who run as if only one could win. We know that more than one can win, but we must run as if only one can win. That's the reason that he says, "Run that you may obtain." That is, run like you're the only one that can win the race. Now, let me ask you this. He said they run to receive a corruptible crown. If that guy that's running that race, if he understood that this was the consequences of running that race, that if he won it, he would have eternal life. But if he lost it, it would be eternal death in the lake of fire. How do you reckon that athlete would run that race if he thought, if I win it, it's eternal life. If I don't win it, it's eternal death. Now, we know that those people are running just for a corruptible crown. But God says, I want you to run this race. I want you to understand the seriousness of this race. I want you to run this race and run it as if you were the only one that could win it, and put your heart in it. Hallelujah. Be determined to win. Paul said concerning himself in verse 26, he gave his own testimony. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul was saying, I'm not playing games. Are you? Paul said, I'm not playing games. I am not just beating the air. I am not running around in circles. I am running to win. Praise God. And that's the way it's got to be with you. If you're going to be a successful Christian, you've got to be determined to win this morning. Secondly, there is this aspect of discipline. A great athlete is willing to deny himself in order to qualify for the crown. And this discipline requires that he restrain the appetites of the body. Paul said in verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Those athletes in that day trained rigorously. And they were very careful about their bodies, because they were training those bodies to win in the contest. So they restrained the appetites of the body, careful what they ate, careful how much they ate, careful that their bodies not deteriorate. They were careful to train their bodies, perfect their skills through diligent training, so they'd have a rigorous schedule. They had a daily regimen. It wasn't something that they just did off and on. It wasn't something that, you know, today I'll do it, next week maybe I'll do it again, just sort of haphazardly. They were in this thing to run, to win, and so there was a daily regimen, and there was an endless repetition, doing the same things over and over and over and over again, because it was necessary to hone their skills, that they do the same thing over and over and over again. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? And do you understand that in the Christian race, and if you're going to be a winner, then your heart's got to be in this. There's got to be some discipline in your life. So you've got to discipline your body, because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you have got to discipline your body. You can't just let your body go. You cannot just let your appetites rule you. You have got to let Jesus be the Lord of your appetites. And you have got to have a daily regimen in your life. A daily regimen of prayer and study of the Word of God. A daily regimen of fellowship with God, doing the same things day after day after day after day. Hallelujah. Because it is essential, if you're going to win, that you be disciplined. And he not only perfects his skills through discipline, but he competes, this athlete, this successful athlete competes in spite of discomfort and pain. He understands that in order to be a winner, he's going to have some pain. He's going to have some discomfort. But he understands that he cannot let that stand in his way. If he's going to be a successful athlete, he has got to compete when he feels like it. He's got to compete when he doesn't feel like it. So He is disciplined to compete in spite of discomfort and pain. I read an article several years ago in Reader's Digest about a man by the name of Mike Webster. He's a former center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, professional athlete, professional football player. He was small for his size, for his position. He was 6'2", but he was small. You know, those guys on those lines are huge. And this guy wasn't so huge. But he excelled, even though he's small for his position, he excelled through discipline and toughness. He was known for his toughness. They said that this guy would treat a concussion like a hangnail. He showed up at one game on crutches, torn ligaments, cartilage in his knee, and played the whole game with torn cartilage in his knee, and waited till the game was over before accepting operation. Known in the game as Iron Mike. He was voted to the All-Pro team 6 straight years, won 4 Super Bowl rings, was voted into the Football Hall of Fame. And the reason that guy excelled like that, even though he was would have been disqualified perhaps in some ways, but he had his heart in it. I said that's the reason he excelled. He had his heart in it. Praise God. And I'm telling you that that's the way it is in this Christian race as well. If you're going to be successful, you've got to have your heart in it. The successful Christian lives a life of discipline. We must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're not always going to feel like coming to the house of God. You're not always going to feel like praying. You're not always going to feel like reading your Bible. You're not always going to feel like going and visiting somebody. You have to go against your feelings. You have to do it in spite of your feelings. You have to be obedient to God whether you feel like it or not. Are y'all hearing me? Praise God. This is part of the discipline of being a child of God, of being a Christian. If you want to be successful, your heart's got to be in it. The Bible says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So if there is something that you're engaged in that is warring against your soul, you may be able to justify it in your mind and say, well, the Scriptures don't say that such and such is wrong. But if it's warring against your soul, if it's keeping you out of the house of God, if it's preventing you from praying, if it's keeping you from your Bible, if it's keeping you from having a passion for Jesus Christ, I'm telling you what, brother, as a disciplined athlete for Jesus, and you'd do well to get rid of that, and let's go on for Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, what is lawful can become sin to you if it dulls your appetite for spiritual things. Fasting is a Christian discipline. Did you know that? I said fasting is a Christian discipline. The Lord told us in Matthew chapter 6, He said, when you give alms, don't tell nobody. When you pray, go into your closet. When you fast, wash your face so that others don't see that you are fasting. And your Father which seeth in secret, Himself shall reward you openly. Fasting, listen to me now, fasting is a Christian discipline. And you're going to be a Christian, you're going to fast. You hear me? I said, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to fast. There are going to be days you're going to push the plate back. You're going to say, there's something more important in my life than this food. I need something from God, or somebody else needs something from God, and this is more important than my food. There's got to be something in your heart. I'm talking about having your heart in this. There's got to be something in your heart that says that winning this race is more important than my pleasure, and winning this race is more important than my personal satisfaction. Winning this race is everything. You know, Job said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. And this is the discipline of the Christian life. We're to perfect holiness in the fear of God. We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to guard our time from being filled up. Listen to this. We're to guard our time from being filled up with unnecessary and destructive pursuits. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, Wherefore seeing we also compass of that with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm telling you, you're not going to make a successful run if you've got weights around you. You've got to get rid of them. If there's something holding you back and hindering you, you've got to get it off and run this race with patience. Now, y'all, some of y'all done got off board already. You stepped off and said, that's enough. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll just hang on just a few more minutes here. You are not going to be a successful Christian until winning is everything. I said, you are not going to be a successful Christian until winning is everything. Your desires have got to be greater than your obstacles. Did you hear me? I said, your desire for God, your desire for the things of God, your desire for heaven, your desire for spiritual things, it must be greater than your obstacles, because you are going to have obstacles. Everybody here, you're going to have obstacles thrown in your way, but your desire has got to be greater than your obstacles. When my alma mater is the University of Georgia. When I was young, attending school there in those years around the time when I was in school, and right after, there was a guy that came to that school, was the running back at that school. His name was Herschel Walker. And gifted, by nature, gifted to be an athlete, built like a Hercules, and fleet of foot, and skilled in his running skills. And the guy just electrified the whole countryside. Took the University of Georgia football team to the, the number one ranking in the country. And he was voted in this Heisman Trophy or whatever. Just, you know, the papers had him, and he's in the papers every day. They're telling about what he eats, you know, what kind of regimen he goes through. And really, the guy didn't really do a whole lot. I mean, he ate sparingly, but he really didn't do a lot of training. He was just naturally gifted to do it, you know. And so he was drafted after he got through with college. He was drafted into the pro football. And I don't really know what happened to him, but I think Herschel Walker, who had some of the greatest talents of any football player that ever played in college, he fizzled in pro sports because his heart was not in it. Now, you know, you can have a whole lot going for you in this Christian race, but if your heart is not in it, you are not going to finish up. If your heart is not in it. So, plenty of talent, not enough heart. But your heart's got to be in this. Winning has got to be everything. George, I've been thinking about your testimony Friday night, or Saturday morning. Hallelujah. George testified, and he said, there was a time in my life when I attended church at Brother Bobby's down at Norfolk. He said, this is his words, I was all about God. Is that what you said, George? I was all about God. Brother, I'm telling you, that's what it's got to be in your life. I was all about God. Winning has got to be everything. God has got to be in your vision. This has got to be the most important thing in your life. I was all about God. And I'm saying to every convert in this place, I'm saying to every Christian in this place, if you're going to make a successful run, it's got to all be about God. Your life has got to be centered around Him. This is the most important thing in the world. Winning is everything. You know, we sang that song in this revival meeting. More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name is inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear Him say, well done, enter in, my child you won. More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Here is Paul, and Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. Here is Paul telling us about himself. I run, not uncertainly. I fight, not beating the air. I'm determined to win. I'm not playing games. I'm determined to win. I keep under my body. When he said these athletes discipline themselves, he said, I do too. I keep under my body. I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And this great man of God who said, I have told others how to do it. But after I have told others how to do it, and I don't do it myself, then I am liable to become a castaway. What about you? If your heart's not in this, are you liable to become a castaway? But we know there's a better story about Paul. This man who said, I run, but not uncertainly. I fight, but not like beating the air. When he wrote his last letter to his son Timothy in the Lord, he said, I'm ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I finished my race. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all of them that love his appearing. He said, they are running for corruptible crowns. We are running for an incorruptible crown. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, I'm looking for a crown. Hallelujah. I wonder this morning, you got hardiness? Is hardiness? I know some of you do. I know you do. I saw your sacrifices this week. I saw the sacrifices you made to be in this revival. I saw the sacrifices people made around these altars. Hour after hour, praying, seeking God, not only for themselves, but for other people. I know that people have done without money to be in these services. I know people have come with pain in their bodies. I know that they've gone to work in the mornings trying to get the sleep out of their eyes. I know there's some people in this place that their heart is in it. But I do know that there are people in this house right now that their heart's not in it. I know your heart's not in it. You are not willing to sacrifice. You are not willing to suffer pain. You are not willing to bear reproach for Jesus Christ. You're not willing to shuck off the weights and do away with the sin that's holding you back. I know your heart's not in it. But I'm telling you, that if you're going to make a successful run, this is the thing that's going to make the difference. Heart. Heart. Brother, when I was a young man in the school, playing on the school grounds, competing with the boys in PE, there's one thing about me. I had a little bit of skill. But what skill I lacked, I made up for it in heart. I was determined to win. I didn't get out there planning for the other guy to win. I got out there aiming to win. And when I got in this, brother, when I got in this Christian race, I put my heart in it, Brother Morris. I'm aiming to win. Oh, yeah, I'm aiming to win. I'm a running to win. So I'm willing to do whatever God says do. I'm willing, God, whatever you want me to do, whatever discipline you've got for me, whatever you decide for my life, you just let me know I'm in this to win. My heart is in this. Is your heart in it? This is going to be the difference between you, whether or not you make it all the way, or whether you get off somewhere just down the road. And God wants to give you this very morning a heart sold out to Jesus. Praise God. While we stand, Sister Judy sings.